Okay, we'll play Nostalgic.
Never knew it'd be like this. There's a piece of me that likes to reminisce. Never knew it'd be like this. There's a piece of me I'd rather just forget. I sit back and watch it slip through my fingers. I hold on, but lost time never lingers.
All right, we are sitting here in Ellensburg, Washington with Elaina Watts. She is an indie music artist who does music under the name Etc. Can you tell us a little bit about why you chose the name Etc.?
Absolutely. And first of all, thanks so much for having me.
It is an honor to be here. I am stoked that you're here. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Oh, man. Thank you. So Etc. is a play on the Latin words ex and cetera, meaning out of and the rest, because for me, music is a huge escape from life. And creativity in general is just a way to kind of dive into all the beautiful things that take you out of the mess, out of the stress, and I don't know.
That's beautiful.
There are a lot of moments of Etc. that aren't just music, and it's kind of like a term that I've come to see just when I see beautiful moments in life. I was like, oh, that's Etc. That's that moment of, like, Etc. And I just want my music to feel that way, like this safe place where you can, you know, just retreat and think and
that is way cool.
Yeah,
I never would have thought of that meaning, and that's really cool. Yeah. I love that. It's very, like, all-encompassing and very embracing of life and art just in general. Thank you for that explanation. So we just want to get it started, do a little bit of an icebreaker, warm you up with some rapid fire questions. I'm not going to preface this question at all, but it is a would you rather. Yeah. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Would you rather borrow someone's hat or someone's socks?
Hat.
Why do you say this? We argued over this in the car. Why do you say hat?
Wait, are they used socks?
So they're, like, straight from the dresser drawer?
Oh, they're straight from the dresser drawer.
Yes.
Still hat.
Yes. I agree.
Okay, good.
But what are your reasons?
The reason is I think it's always fun to try on other people's hats, but I never have the urge to try on somebody's socks.
Like, ever. Figuratively? Or yeah. I like that.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so Dallin, who is, again, today behind the camera so our viewers cannot see this or hear him, but we should mic him up eventually. But Dallin and I were arguing about this in the truck on the way over to the interview today, and he said socks, because socks get washed all the time.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I said, but hair gets washed all the time.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Let's just leave it at that.
All I'll say is I've never once tried on a hat and thought, is this gross? And now I'm going to start thinking.
Thanks for that. We turned you off to the hat.
I'm never going to try on any
hats. It's
really
poetic, though.
Yes.
I love trying other people's hats all the time. All right. Second question. What was the first album that you felt inspired you, whether that be emotionally, musically, just what was the first album to set you on fire?
You know, Trench by 21 Pilots, if it didn't exist, I don't know if I would be making music, because I was kind of in a season of life where not a lot of things were interesting to me. I was just, like, in a kind of a dark mental period, and then they came out with Trench, and I kind of knew of 21 Pilots, but not to the extent that I did once they came out with Trench, and it was the first time that I realized that albums can tell a story. And that there can be, like, a cohesive message behind it. Until that point, my entire awareness of music was, like, pop singles. And I know that long-form albums have been out forever, but I just never been introduced to them. And so, I mean, I've been a writer first before I was a musician for 10 years, so I'm a storyteller. And I've always loved music, but it wasn't until Trench existed and I saw 21 Pilots live, I fell in love with music, and then it kind of bridged the divide from storytelling into music, and I realized, like, okay, I'm ready for this new medium. it's time to do this myself.
First off, I love that answer, but I'm also really surprised because you seem like such a, maybe it's because you're wise beyond your years, but you seem like such a seasoned, like, professional musician who's done this, like, since birth. Like, you came out of the womb and you went, yeah, I'm a musician.
Well, thank you.
So I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing music. I learned piano as a kid.
Yeah.
Poorly. And I would always I would always go to music to, like, as a stress reliever or something, because we had a piano in the house growing up, so I really liked playing it, but I wasn't really making it seriously until 3 years ago,
when Trench came out. Shout out to 21 Pilots.
Honestly.
That's huge.
They don't know who I am, but they've been my mentors in this huge music process, yeah.
Speaking of being a storyteller, how is your writing process? Do you feel like you still kind of revert to, you know, you write the lyrics first, or does the music come first, or do they come at the same time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it totally depends. I think the song I'm actually showing today was one of the rare instances where lyrics came first. And I had kind of like almost like a poem, and then I sat down and made music to it. But I think sometimes there's just like there's something inside that needs to be written, and it will start with chords, and I'll just start playing chords and throwing words on top of it. So I guess most times it's music first.
That's really cool. I'm really excited to hear your new song, by the way.
Yeah,
stick around for that. All right, so I'm actually curious if you could be featured on a new hit single by one of these three artists, whose would it be? Number one, Justin Bieber. Two, Gwen Stefani. Or three, Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me, honestly.
Oh.
But he's so talented, and he's so, he's got such positive vibes.
Yes.
I feel like there's no way you go into a writing session with Pharrell and then leave not learning, like, 10 new things.
That's a good point.
That would be amazing.
What kind of song would it be? Would it be, like, jazzy? What do you think?
Oh.
I don't know.
That would be fun. A jazzy song with Pharrell.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
That would be quite a twist. If I got to work with Pharrell and I did a jazz single,
be reckoned with for him. He'd be like, oh, this is a whole new world for me. Pharrell.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything new in the world of Pharrell, but I'll take
He's seen it all.
Yeah.
Okay, last rapid fire. What is your dream, like, hall or amphitheater? What's your dream live music venue? Or if it's not a venue, like a city, is there a place that you just really want to play music and find an audience?
I love that question. I think it would be so cool to hit some of these famous Seattle places, just because those are the places that I've been to. So it'd be a very full circle moment. You know, I saw this Phineas concert recently at Showbox Soto. There's two Showboxes. It's very confusing, but anyway.
Cool.
And I saw him in the window because we were all waiting in line, and I, like, walked around to the side where the tour buses are, and there was a guy in the window, like, with the blinds in his green room just chilling, and it was me and my brother, and I can't remember who waved first. Either he waved at us or we waved at him, but we were waving at each other, and I was like, is that Phineas? And as he turned around, you could see his profile. I was like, that's Phineas. I was like, oh, I want to be in that room someday. I want to be in that green room getting ready, and I want to look out the window at where we were standing, because that's going to be...
That'd be so cool.
That would be insane.
You're going to be looking for your fans who's like...
Yes, I'll be like...
I see you.
Just watching and waving. You've heard it here first. If I ever play Showbox Soto, I'm committing to waving at fans from that window.
It
feels
easy
to commit to that now, because...
That's going to happen, because now you've manifested it. It's out in the world.
Yep.
Et cetera. No.
Et cetera.
That's right. Well, so you mentioned going to this show with your brother. Is this the same brother? So there, you have a few videos up on Instagram and on TikTok where you're singing with your brother.
Yes.
Have you guys done that for a long time? How did you discover that you make these beautiful harmonies?
Oh, thank you.
Like, how long have you guys been doing that?
Well, he did it first. So he used to do music, and he would make, like, YouTube videos and stuff. And I would tag along because he's 3 years older than me. And so when I was younger, you know, he was just, like, the coolest guy ever. And so I think I learned a lot about music just from doing that with him. And we would, like, we were at summer camp once, and we wrote a rap and performed it for everybody. So, like, things like that would happen just because, I don't know, I like making things, he likes making things. And then a lot of times I'm just dragging him along to it because I just need support. He's been so supportive, though. He was the one, like, the first year that I started taking this really seriously, which was 2019, so the year after Trench, that's where it all began. Wow. I just wrote 25 songs, and I would send them to Eric. His name's Eric. Shout out to Eric. And he was so supportive every time. He's like, oh, that sounds so good. Keep going. And it gave me the confidence to keep going. Like, it's so scary starting a new thing.
Absolutely.
And the fact that there's been, like, that cheerleader that whole time just made a massive difference, so.
That's fantastic. I have three older brothers that reaches my heart, and I go, yeah. Yes, older brothers are the best.
The power that they have. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. So is it, well, first I want to know, what's your favorite song to harmonize together and sing together?
There's this song, wait, who's it by? Do you know that one where it's like, tonight will be the night that I will fall for you?
Yes.
Over again.
Tonight will be
the night. Yep. I remember learning the harmony to that like a really long time ago. And there's something about the harmonies on that song that is, like, iconic. And he won't play that song anymore.
Oh, darn.
Can't convince him to do it. Yeah. It's a beautiful song, though.
It
yeah,
is I think so it, the I harmonies. I can almost hear it. And your style, too.
Yes. Yeah.
The styles of Et Cetera in there. That would be really beautiful.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
So you do have a wonderful presence on social media.
Oh, thank you.
Dallin, again, he knows I'll just be sitting in the corner, like in the truck or in our camper as we're touring, and I'll like binge watch your TikTok videos. I've seen them several times. Like, I already know what's gonna happen, and I'm just like laughing out loud for tens of minutes. Like, you need to watch this one. It is so funny. You're just, I was trying to describe you. I don't know why, but I was trying to describe you. I was like, she's very, her humor is smart. Your humor is smart.
Wow.
It's very cunning. It just is unassuming, and it gets you. But I appreciate your presence online. But on a more serious note, you do refer to imposter syndrome in a few of your videos. I definitely heavily feel imposter syndrome a lot of the time. And I think that many of us in the world do. For those who don't know what imposter syndrome is, how would you describe it?
Imposter syndrome, how would I describe it? This is definitely not the Webster, Merriam Dictionary, whatever. but I think imposter syndrome is when you are doubting that you're the right person for the opportunities that you have. So when you go to do something new and it requires some level of ability at all, and you're questioning that you're the right person to do it. And it's funny that you were mentioning TikTok, because actually yesterday, thinking of like, oh man, these people are coming to Allensburg to interview me, and I'm like, I found myself scrolling my own TikToks, just being like, oh, look at this idiot who thinks she's cool enough to do this type of thing, you know? And it was this imposter syndrome creeping up of like, oh man, maybe I'm not cool enough, or maybe I'm not like serious enough of a musician to have an opportunity like this. But when you talk to other people and recognize that we all experience some of this, I think that helps identify it as a lie.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
If that's such a universal experience, and if I can look at you and be like, oh, you're great at what you're doing, you should never feel like an imposter. And then I look at myself and be like, oh, but I should feel like an imposter. It's not logical. So I think it's been super helpful to talk about it a lot, and it's just been definitely something I've grappled with a lot since starting music, because I think, so I, like I said, I've been a writer for 10 years, so there's a lot of confidence or identity that I've started to understand about my writing, where it's like, this makes sense for me, I'm a writer, I get it. Like, I'm sure if I ever get published, I'll have new levels of imposter syndrome on that, but it felt very fake to be suddenly trying this new thing, where it's like, for all this time I've been this person, am I allowed to try something new? And when I can look at other people who can do this better than I, do I even have a place in this world or in this sphere, you know? So I've had to just think about it a lot and process it a lot, and every step of the way has been so scary and so exciting. Every new thing that I've tried, like working with other musicians for the first time, doing my first show solo, there's a place, like, and it's still happening, there's a place here in Kittitas County that I'm trying to get a booking at, and they're, like, a little bit more serious about their music. So it's like, once again, am I good enough for it? Am, like, am I the right person for this? There's people who can do this better than me. Why am I trying? But it's like, I believe in the process. I think everybody is allowed to try their hand at something that they're passionate about, and that you're allowed to fill up, like, the same space as people who are more talented than you. And they only got because they were faking it until they made it.
Absolutely.
So you have a right to do the same thing.
It's so true. Yeah. And I thank you for being willing to be vulnerable. Mm. I think that's what it takes to even cross that threshold where you recognize that you're not the only one who feels like an imposter. Like, everybody does. And like you said, they fake it till they make it. Just thank you for being so vulnerable and doing absolutely. That. I mean, I truly appreciate your videos. I appreciate your music. Your songwriting is just incredible. Mm-hmm. And if you hadn't just crossed that threshold and made yourself vulnerable, the world wouldn't be graced by your music by your creations.
Thank you.
But how do you feel like imposter syndrome has affected your, not the way you make music, but how has it affected your music, or maybe the way or even the rate that you distribute your music?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it's definitely made it slower. If I could have just erased all the times that I had doubt about what I was doing, I probably could have been like 10 times as productive, because those moments just kind of slow you down and push the brakes on something that, like, why not just steam ahead, make mistakes and just go for it? But yet, like, I get in my head and I question whether, like, oh, that's, you know, that's not the right song to be making, or I can't release that, or it's not perfect yet. This song that I'm showing you guys today, it's like, I should have recorded this months ago, but I keep waiting because I don't want to make it, because I know it's going to be imperfect. And I know that my production, I'm still learning a lot about how to music produce. So I love this song so much, I don't want to ruin it by my poor efforts at music production. And it's like, I should just go for it, but I don't. It's like, I don't know. So it's a balance, because it's important to be patient with yourself and let yourself grow on that timeline. And I think I will be picking up speed. I think I am already. It took me last summer 3 months to put together one show, and since then I've done 3 other shows, and this summer I'm doing like 5 more, and another some with the bands again, and like,
oh, cool.
So I'm able to take on more because I understand what that process looks like. I understand now the week of the show, I'm going to be excited a couple days before. The day before, I'm going to start questioning things. The day of, I'm probably going to get into a dark mental place, just realistically speaking. And then after the show, I'm going to be, like, on fire, and I'm going to be so excited. I'll vlog it. I'll vlog the whole process, and it's extremely consistent. It's right beforehand. I'm doubting everything. I'm questioning, like, why am I doing this? It's like, I just need to stop this or whatever. And then afterwards, I'll vlog, like, oh, my goodness, I had so much fun. Everyone was so nice. Yes. And all. It's like, man, why do I go through that process?
Yeah, it's never as bad as you think, but, you know, I think your answer is so important. Because so many people face that. So many people go through that cycle. And it's almost, for some people, you know, they say, I thrive under pressure. It's almost like, I have to face this cycle. Like, I need to go through it in order to prepare the amount that I need to prepare to get it done. And so I think your answer is just so important, because it's so relatable, and so many artists face that. But as an artist, what do you feel is the most helpful thing for your fans, your existing fans, and our listeners who will be new fans after this? What's the most important thing that they can do to support you and help you reach your goals as an artist?
Yeah. Wow. Well, if you want to support my music, I think I would love to build a community of people who enjoy similar things as me, people who might be exploring these topics of imposter syndrome, people who like these concepts of et cetera and escaping the world, but also diving deeper into the world through music and just exploring all of these topics. So it's great to be cheered along, but I think more than that, I would love to like meet these people and interact with them online. And so if you want to support my music, comment on stuff that I make and nice. Let's start talking and just follow the TikTok, follow the Instagram, and be a part of this community, because I think it would be really cool to build up a group of people that, I don't know, can share in those moments with me, because I don't want to do this alone. And that's been the most rewarding part of this whole process, is I'm learning out loud and people are incredibly kind to that process and they just want to support and also like learn with me. And I, man, please come join that.
I feel like I need to put an exclamation point at the end of that. And I'm going to like write this in my notebook and everything. She said she's learning out loud, which is just, well, like, don't we all feel like that yeah. all the time?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
It's the only way that I can justify what I'm doing. It's like, I know that I'm not perfect at this, so I'm just going to be honest about that process. Because I think if I pretended that I was really good at this, I would know it's a lie. I would have so much trouble, like, facing that every day of, like, oh, I have to pretend again. But when I can just be honest and be like, I'm terrified and I don't know what I'm doing, but this is super fun. So
it's
thanks
real.
For joining the process.
Yeah, it's real. It's yeah. real and people love that. So speaking of, so we need to reach out to you. What is the handle on Instagram and on TikTok?
They really check? Should be the same. I'm a bad, my other job is marketing. And okay. when I look at Instagram and TikTok, I'm like, I'm not, I need to change one of these because they're different. Anyway, that's a side tangent. There's a little marketing tip for anybody out there. So yes. make your handles the same. Yeah. But on TikTok, it's et cetera with two A's at the end, or I should say three A's. So X-E-T-E-R-A-A-A. Because et cetera with yeah. one A was taken. And on Instagram, it's et cetera dot music.
All right. At et cetera dot music.
Yes.
Perfect.
And
so reach
I am
out.
On Spotify and all of the music platforms out there. So.
Excellent. Do you have something in your life that you feel like maybe it's a quote or some piece of advice that someone has told you that stuck mm-hmm. with you? If you can give our listeners just one piece of life advice, what do you want to put out there in the world?
Yeah,
today.
I think the thing that I would like people to know is that skill is greater than talent, and we grow up with this idea of, like, we have to be a prodigy and instantly successful and perfect at whatever we try our hands to do, and if we try something that we are interested in and we're bad at it, mm-hmm. we need to stop, and I disagree completely. I think on the other side of being bad at something is just a whole world of incredible ideas and art that you can follow and experiences that you get to share with people. So never hold yourself back because you think you don't have this born talent, and give yourself a chance to build up that skill instead. Skill is greater than talent. I don't believe that talent exists almost. I kind of think talent is really just people being stubborn at something that they're curious about and refusing to stop.
That's
and then over time it turns into skill. And I don't know. Otherwise you're losing out on, nobody else gets to appreciate the things that you can make.
Exactly.
You know?
The world needs more you and yes. not more of something they've already seen. So
yes.
whatever that looks like, if you feel like it's full of flaws, but it's just character, it's just charm, whatever it is,
yes.
the world needs more of that.
100%. Authenticity yes. is the only thing that is like matters anymore, especially
yes.
in this world of social media, because it's just so much fakeness. Just
all
like,
the trends.
We
all
need
things.
To be real because yes. we need it from each other and from ourselves.
Well, thank you for being real with us, etc.
Thank you.
Let's do a little bit of a shout-out segment. Is there anybody
yes.
that you'd like to shout out and say hi to today?
Yes. Well, I mean, I already shouted out Eric, my brother, but shout out again.
Hi, Eric.
Because he really did help me start this. Shout out to my best friend, Amanda. She's a photographer in California who's so supportive of everything that I'm doing.
Way cool. What part of California is she in?
She's in SoCal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, SoCal
Amanda.
Photography. Yes. yes. She's very good. Amanda Marie Lenz. Ooh, I got you a plug, too. So if you need a good photo shoot in SoCal.
There you
sorry.
Go.
Okay.
Yes.
And then,
that's exactly
yes.
what it's for.
I think just my family, my so supportive parents and siblings and my cousins and just all the people in this beautiful town of Ellensburg where I started doing live music who have showed up to shows the people who knew me before and decided to be supportive, but also the people who show up at the shows and connect with something and I get to meet them. I don't know. This is too long of a shout out list, but
it
makes such a huge difference to be able to share this with other people. So thank you.
Thank you again for sitting down with us. We're really excited to hear your new song and to get your voice out there in the world.
Thank you so much. You guys are incredible, and I love what you're doing.
I thought I'd forgiven. hands around my heart. Never meant to play with your emotions.
That was the one. First try. Yeah, first try.